Good to see everybody here this morning.
Nobody's listening.
That's all right. I can get a lot louder. Hey, it's good to see everybody here this morning. How are you? Outstanding. I love that. I love a noisy sanctuary before the services start. That just means that we're fellowshipping in the Lord. It's great to see everybody here this morning. First Sunday of July, July 2nd, is 2 days away from July 4th, which is, of course, what we celebrate, the birthday of our nation. You know, I'm a history buff of sorts, and I just love going back and looking at the different things that formed our nation. And no matter what the critics say, you can't get away from what is laced throughout the history of our nation, and that is that God was at the foundation of all that we have become. And we need to pray that that is reestablished again. But you know, just as we see in Scripture, that God always has his remnant throughout all places. That is his people who will stand for righteousness. In the book of Psalms, it's blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Makes it very distinct. That's what we want to be. We truly want to be one nation under God again. And we've prayed for that. And I encourage you as a church and as individuals, don't give up on our nation, because there's still one God who is over that nation. Whether we acknowledge him or not, he's the God over the United States. He's the God over the heavens. He's the God of all things. He's the God of eternity. That's who we worship here today. Jesus the Christ, our Savior and our Lord. I want to ask everybody, we're going to do things just a little differently here this morning. If you would stand to your feet, and we are going to recite our Pledge of Allegiance to our American flag here, if you would. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Let's just bow our heads as you continue to stand here this morning. Let's just go before the throne of the Lord today and just align ourselves with him. And I just pray that we would still our hearts and clear our minds, thanking for the freedom that we have in this nation, but most of all, thanking for the freedom that he gave to each and every one of us from the bondage of sin through the cross at Calvary. Almighty, infinite Father, we do come before you today. And God, we do acknowledge you as the one true living God. Father, as you say in the book of Isaiah, you're the God of eternity. And again, in the book of Revelation, you are who was and is to come, past, present, and future. Father, we praise you and thank you for your power, for your omniscience, for your all-knowing. Father, I pray right now for this group of people that have gathered here under the name of Jesus, that we would humble ourselves in that name alone. Father, I pray that you would speak to the wandering heart. I pray that you would clear the clouded mind, that you would heal the brokenhearted. Father God, I pray that you would be exalted, that you truly would have the preeminence over all things. We sing to one true living God. We sing to one true living Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. We exalt you here today, and we thank you for the freedom that we have in our nation. Oh God, I lift up this nation to you once again, that you would intercede on our behalf, that you would spare us of the holy wrath that we deserve because of our sinfulness. But Father, that you would again have your people rise up, and that we would ignite a flame of righteousness for the cause of our Savior, that people would hear and know and believe and understand and accept the truth of the gospel. Lord, this is your church. We pray that you would be exalted here this morning. We pray that you would keep the enemy at bay and bind him with your power and strength, that every mind and every heart would be aligned with yours. For the glory of King Jesus, we ask it. And I ask all of his people to end this praise before you today by saying, amen.
Amen. We're going to have everybody remain standing, and we're going to sing the Star Spangled Banner. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, we don't do that second verse very often. You know, you don't hear that when the Star Spangled Banner is sung at baseball games or whatever. It's always the first verse, but that second verse, "In God is our trust." Amen. That's our motto, right?
Amen.
Well, as we're preparing to celebrate our Declaration of Independence, now's the time to really celebrate our Declaration of Dependence on God. Amen?
Amen.
One announcement today. You can look through your bulletin, but there's a lot going on this morning, so I'm just going to cover one thing, and that is that after Sunday school, we'll have our quarterly business meeting for church members, so please plan on staying for a few minutes before you go to your picnics today, and Pastor will go through some church business. And can we have the ushers come forward, and as they do, let's all stand, and we're going to recite together Proverbs 15:23. Let's go ahead and recite that together now. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season. How good it is. Proverbs 15:23. And Bruce, would you lead us in a prayer?
Thank you for this day that we can come together and we can celebrate the birth of our nation. And Lord, that you are the one that we turn to trust. And we thank you for this opportunity now to gather and to give our tithes and offerings, and we just ask now you'd bless it and multiply it and use it for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Ask everybody to please stand, and we're all going to join them and sing "God Bless America."
God bless.
everyone said amen. Amen. Thank you, ladies. We're going to ask you to remain standing as we go into our songs here. And you know, Pastor already mentioned this verse. Great minds think alike, I guess. But it does say in Proverbs 33:12, not to ever be forgotten, that blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. It's important that we follow him. We're going to sing, God of this city, but city, you can make it nation. Here we go. You're the God of this city. You're the King of these people. Talking about people growing closer to him, this song completely sings about it. I want to be closer to your side. Let's sing about the fact that he is the great I am. Amen. Amen. He is the great I am. Amen. Here we go.
I want to be close to your side. So heaven. Thank you.
Father, you alone are holy. You alone are worthy of our praise. Lord God, thank you for blessing us individually, collectively, as this body of believers here in Clinton, and as a nation. And Lord God, we've all stumbled in every one of those situations. And yet you still love us, and you show us grace, and you show us your mercy, and you forgive us. And Lord God, you loved us so much that in all that, knowing our failure and shortcomings, you sent Jesus Christ, your only precious begotten Son, to die for us. Lord God, we just praise you for salvation that's through the precious blood of Christ. Lord God, we thank you for the joy of our salvation. The fact that we don't have to stay dead in our sins if we just call upon your name and ask for forgiveness and believe. And Lord, help those of us that have believed already to act it. To not forget the joy that is in you, regardless of what's going on. You reign supreme. You've promised us, and your promises are true. Lord God, help us to be faithful. We certainly lift up our soldiers and the men and women fighting for our nation. Lord, particularly even those that have lost loved ones, even recently here, Lord. We pray for your protection, hand of protection upon them, and for strength and comfort to all the families that are separated. And Lord God, for our nation, for our president, for those in leadership, to make decisions based on the truth of your word, to seek you for wisdom, because that's where it comes from. True wisdom. Lord, we love you. We praise you. Use Pastor as he brings your word this morning. In Jesus' holy, matchless name, we pray these things. And everyone said,
amen.
You may be amen.
You know, today is our services are themed there behind celebrating our nation and the birth of it and the freedom that we share. How appropriate is it that this morning we would have communion celebrating the freedom that we have through Jesus Christ? We're going to be going here in just a moment to the book of Corinthians for our communion service prior to the message. But I wanted to share something with you that if you're with us during the Sunday school hour, I will share with you all then. But yesterday as I was reading through, I came across a verse in 1 Peter, a verse, honestly, I have the verse highlighted, underlined, and you've read it. I've read it numerous times, but I think that's one of the beauties of God's Word. Every day, every time you read it, it's fresh, it's new. And something just jumped out at me, and I wanted to share it. I think it appropriate here this morning as we prepare for communion. Out of 1 Peter chapter 1, after God had given us that holy standard in verse 16, "Be holy, for I am holy," he says, "And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear." Aren't you glad that our time here on this earth is short? It's not permanent. "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." That grabbed me. And I wrote my full name right next to you. That blood that redeems us, the spotless Lamb of God, that revelation that was given for me personally, that was given for you personally, that if you have accepted Christ as your Savior, you will one day stand before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and hear him say, "Well done, thou faithful servant, enter into my kingdom." This is what we celebrate this morning, and so I'm going to ask our deacons, if they would, to come forward as we prepare to give communion here today. We believe in open communion here at this church. That simply means that you do not have to be a member of this church to partake. But according to the biblical template, as we will see, you do have to be a member of the church of God. What does that mean? It means you have to have accepted him as your Lord and Savior. There has to be a moment where you recall in your mind, in your heart, in your life, that you remember the moment that you surrendered your heart, your mind to Jesus. Lord, save me. I'm a sinner. Forgive me. That's according to his standard, and we strive to do that here as a church and as individuals to be biblically accurate. I always read from the book of Corinthians because I like what Paul is doing there as he shares with the church in Corinth as a reminder about what it is that he brought to them. He says in chapter 11 and verse 23, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" So we don't believe in transubstantiation. That is, we don't believe that the wine, the juice, or the bread, it does not turn into the literal blood of Christ or the flesh of Christ. That is not what he teaches. That's not what we see in Scripture. It is a memorial to remember that he did lay down his life for us. That upon his body were the stripes that we were supposed to have received because of our sinfulness. But by those stripes we are healed, as it says in the book of Isaiah. And through that blood we have the remission or the forgiveness of sins. He says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." You see, it's not only a time of remembrance to look back to the cross and what Christ has provided for us as sinners, but it's also a time of reflection. It's to look back upon our lives and to come before the throne of God, as we all should do on a daily basis, and say, "Lord, is there any sin that has passed from my remembrance or from my memory that is unconfessed to you?" And then once that sin is revealed, that we would repent of that sin, confess that sin to God, and then ask forgiveness of that sin. In 1 John 1:9, it says, "If we will confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." It is by the power and the victory through Jesus Christ that through that forgiveness made available by his grace, that now we are in alignment with him. Now we can partake he has done. This morning, as we begin the Lord's Supper, I just ask that you would reflect not only upon your own life and come before the Lord in humility and bow your heads and close your eyes and pray in your heart, "Lord, is there anything I need to confess before you before I partake of these elements?" Lord, we come before you today. We thank you and praise you for the sacrifice at Calvary. Lord, we thank you and praise you that you broke the chains of bondage of our sin. But Father, we have to willingly come before you and ask for forgiveness of those sins to accept this. And so may we look upon that cross. May we look upon that sacrifice. May we look upon what it is that you have done for us repeatedly throughout our lives. Lord, if there is any way in any of us that is not right in your eyes, Almighty God, may we seek your grace, seek your mercy, repent of those things even now, even this morning, if you bring things to the forefront of our minds. May we repent of those things, plead your grace and your mercy that we would receive that. And then may we, with a clear conscience before you, partake and remember of the memorial that you have given, of the cost that was due for our sin that you paid. In the name of Jesus, we ask this. Amen. On the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Rick, would you pray for us, please?
Lord Jesus, we thank you for the horrendous beatings you endured on our behalf, and the torturous pain on the cross. Lord, we thank you that through that, you are victorious over death and over Satan. May you have prepared a place for us in heaven. We praise you, Lord, and we pray that we think this not only this moment as we're honoring you with this communion, that we remember this each and every day of your sacrifice for us. In your holy and precious name, amen.
Amen. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Mark, would you pray for us, please?
Father, we thank you for the blood that shed for us. We can have forgiveness of sins and eternal life in heaven with you. Just pray that you would help us to reflect on what you've done for us. Help us to remember this. Never take it for granted. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.